The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. It is altogether appropriate that during this Easter season we should rejoice. The Lord is truly risen, which means that Jesus Christ is Lord and God is King. It means that sin and death have been defeated. All of this is true, and all of that remains centrally important during this season. At the same time, we must not succumb to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous German Lutheran pastor who died in a concentration camp, called a cheap grace interpretation of Christianity, whereby Christ is risen, God's in his heaven, and all is well. One of our saints, Julian of Norwich, the great mystic, used to say, "All will be well. All manner of things will be well." But notice the future tense. So yes, the resurrection represents this definitive victory in time, but the full realization of that victory is still to come. All three of our readings this weekend have this kind of sobering dimension. They all speak in different ways about struggle and persecution in the early church. Starting with the Acts of the Apostles, the first reading, it speaks of Paul's mission in Asia Minor, probably in the 40s or early 50s of the first century. So this is very early on. And Paul is making his way around, founding churches, preaching, gaining converts, and so forth. We know his strategy was to go to the synagogues first, because the message he had was a distinctively Jewish message in terms of, you know, the figure of the Messiah and so forth. And that this long-awaited Messiah had come. So some of these Jews listened to his message and became some of the first Christians alongside their Gentile neighbors. We hear in today's reading that in Antioch, practically the whole city gathered to listen to Paul and Barnabas. So electrifying was their effect. And then we hear this. "When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said." So from the beginning, some Jews accepted the message and others rejected it, sometimes even violently. What would lead people to oppose this message? Well, many reasons, I'm sure, but here's one important reason. Because acknowledging the lordship of Jesus means that your life has to change. For some, this was liberating good news, but for others, it's a tremendous threat. If Jesus is Lord, then my ego cannot be Lord. If Jesus is Lord, then I must accept his morality rather than the one I make up. If Jesus is Lord, then my country, my convictions, my culture, my wealth, none of these can be Lord. Only he can. And the resurrection is the clearest indication of his lordship. And that's why from the beginning this message has been attacked, belittled, mocked, and explained away. The author of Acts speaks of violent abuse that was directed at Paul and his companions. Many people in our culture today do the same, unfortunately, especially when the proclamation is bold. Again, understandable. The Christian claim is a dramatic, radical claim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, he is Lord, and therefore your life has to change. So we should expect some opposition. You know, in a certain sense, World War II in Europe was over once the Battle of Normandy was won. But there was still much to be done to make the Nazis realize this. In the same way, the great war of this world between good and evil has been won by God already. But there is still much for us to do until that becomes manifest to everyone. And so we should expect some opposition. We evangelize, we preach the message in many different ways. That's our mission. But let's face it, not everyone listens. Nonetheless, our job is to announce it. And then we move on. And so perhaps we should not obsess about those who reject our message and maybe even hurl violent abuse at us. I mean, what did Paul do in that same situation? He shook the dust from his feet and went on to Iconium, filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Something similar is happening in that second reading from the book of Revelation. The visionary is gazing into the heavenly court, and he sees a huge multitude from every nation standing before the throne of the Lamb. And they are wearing white robes and holding palm branches. This is an ancient symbol of martyrdom. In case we missed this or never knew it, one of the elders in the reading explains, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's pretty vivid imagery. This is talking about those who have participated by their violent deaths in the violent death of Jesus. It means martyrs. The book of Revelation was written towards the end of the first century. That means that within the first decades of Christianity, we have an army of martyrs. And think about that. Not a handful, not a few. We have a whole army of witnesses, which is what the Greek word martyr means, witness. Those who have given their lives by participating in the bloody death of Jesus, and now they are part of the great chorus that gives praise to Christ in heaven. And, of course, that's our hope as well. But we're meant to see in this reading that a terrible price has been paid by some in our history. Their robes were washed clean, but by the blood of the Lamb. And this is not just in the past. The 20th century was the bloodiest century in terms of martyrdom in all of Christian history. There were more martyrs in the 20th century than in all the previous centuries combined. And today, the most persecuted religion on the planet is the Christian religion. But you wouldn't know that by watching our mainstream media, because they won't report on many of the things that are happening overseas to many, many Christians. My point is that this army of martyrs endures and stretches down through the ages to the present day. Yes, the battle has been won, but the struggle continues. Just a word about the enormously large gospel that we heard tonight. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he speaks of the sheep who know his voice and follow him to eternal life. But then the imagery becomes darker when he says, "No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand." Please don't miss here the clear implication that someone is constantly trying to wrest them from his hand. That's the point. Yes, the Lord has grasped those who have accepted his invitation, but we are still living in a time of struggle and martyrdom and people hurling violent abuse, and those, yes, who are trying to wrest us out of the hands of Christ. God's victory has been won, but don't be surprised that the struggle continues. Enter into it with Paul's attitude, joyful in the Holy Spirit and willing to fight the good fight.